All right. In Southern California, I'm Jim Rome. I mentioned we love to have this guy on. We do it every single year. He came on frequently as a player. He's come on frequently since he retired. Not only are we doing this again like we do every single year, but we are doing it in studio. He is a three-time World Series winner as a player. He is a World Series MVP. He is a two-time ALCS MVP. He is a Roberto Clemente Award winner and a member of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum Hall of Game Class 2019. The CEO of Zen Relief Balm as well. Dave Stewart joins me in studio. I said he is in studio. Stu, it's so good to see you. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's always good to see you. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you, Stu, and it's always good to talk to you. Listen, I could start in any number of places, but as I mentioned, you're a member of the Negro League Baseball's Museum Hall of Game Class of 2019. It is an awesome class. I want to get to the other guys in a minute, but what does the honor in and of itself mean to you?
Well, and it all started with the Negro Leagues for, you know, minority baseball players, black players. Jackie Robinson in particular opened the doors for us. And if you've ever been to the museum and had an opportunity to walk through the museum to hear the history of the museum by Bob Kendrick, who is the president of the museum, by the way. But if you listen to him tell the stories of the players that are in the Negro League, Josh Gibson, Jackie Robinson, Cool Papa Bell, and you hear the story, Satchel Paige, you hear the stories about these guys, it really gives you a feeling of pride to know what these guys were able to accomplish and how they were able to knock down the doors and get us into Major League Baseball. And so to be inducted with the class of guys that I'm being inducted with, which obviously you'll tell who those guys are, is just amazing. It's a great honor, and I don't really have words to speak for how I feel about the induction.
Dave Stewart joining us. So in terms of the class itself, you, Eric Davis, Fred McGriff, Dave Parker, it's a hell of a group right there. When you look at those three guys, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, I played with Parker, and if you've ever played with Dave Parker, and I had an opportunity to play with him towards the end of his career, but he was still a very productive player. He's a great teammate, great leader, class cut up, if that's what you want to call him. Had everybody in the clubhouse laughing. Fred McGriff should be a sure Hall of Famer, and that probably will happen for him, I hope, at some point. But competing against him and watching him accomplish the things that he did. And Eric Davis, every time I see him, which was just the other day over at the Urban Youth Academy, the first thing he talks about is a home run he hit off of me in Cincinnati game one of the World Series.
1990.
So, I mean, it's just an incredible group of guys that are deserving of being honored in that fashion at the museum, guys that I competed against and enjoyed competing against, and just a great group of individuals.
We're talking to Dave Stewart. He is live in studio. Now, last year during the Players' Weekend, CeCe Sabathia wore special cleats with the names of the Black Aces. That's the 15 African-American players who are 20-game winners. You and I have talked about CeCe in the past, and he talks frequently about what you mean to him. How much, then, did it mean to you to be on those cleats and be a part of that special group?
You know, this is the first I've heard of it. And I got to tell you what, it's just absolutely unbelievable. CeCe's been really, really good when my name comes up about the things that he felt.
Check that out, Stu. Look at those things.
That is...
I'm not doing this for our TV audience, but if you see that, man, those things are awesome. Your name's on there. Doc Gooden's on there.
That's an unbelievable cleat. That is an unbelievable.
That's tight, right? That is really nice.
Man, that is right on time. You know, so C has always been good when my name comes up or the topic comes up, my influence on him as a young man growing up. And I remember meeting him at the Boys and Girls Club out in Richmond. And little did I know years
later. How old was he?
12 years old.
Right.
I'm telling my age. Little did I know he'd grow up to be, he's a Hall of Famer in waiting. And he's talked about my influence community, but as well as giving him the hope and dream that he'd be able to move on and become a major league pitcher and have success, and that's what he's doing.
Dave Stewart joining me in studio. Now, Stu, the pioneer of that club was the great Don Newcomb, another one of my favorites. He passed away in February. The story goes that when you showed up to the Dodgers big league camp, Nuke was there. What do you remember about the first time you met him, and what did he mean to you?
God, man, unless you've had an opportunity to be in Don Newcomb's presence, first thing that comes to mind and on that day was how big of a man
Dude, he's giant.
Was.
He was big, man.
He was a big man, broad shoulders. I'm just unbelievable. Now, Nuke always had on the best hats. And so he had on a nice white straw hat with a wine-colored ribbon around the top, and one of the best-dressed individuals that you'll ever see. He had on a what would be, I guess, qualified or classified as a Tommy Bahama shirt, nice collar, white slacks,
fresh,
white shoes with a little caramel-colored interior on the top of the loafer. Just a sharp-dressed man. And then the next thing came the advice that was most valuable and good for me, which is that this is a sport that you have to give all of your heart to, and you give your best to it. You play the game with passion. You play it with pride. And this game is to be taken personally. When you put on a Dodger uniform, you are the best of the best of anybody that's ever playing this game. This is a class organization. They're quality. They treat their players the best. He said, but more importantly, you as a black pitcher have a responsibility to go out and do your best every time that you're on the field, not just between the lines, but before you take the field, because the impressions that you leave will be impressions that you leave with others coming behind you. And
Dave
I'll never
Stewart.
Forget that.
Amazing. Dave Stewart joining us. You're so right about it. He's a hard guy to explain. You need to spend some time with Don Newcomb to really understand his presence and the kind of man he was. I remember early in my career when I got my first TV show, he was one of the first guys in Los Angeles I interviewed. And old Nuke walked in. And by the way, I don't know if he knew me or not. Couldn't have been classier, but he was a presence, man. When he walked in that room, you felt it.
Unbelievable. Like I said, it's the height, the size of the man, the broad shoulders. And then the quality in how he dressed himself. And I mean, it was just, you felt like you were in front of royalty.
We're talking Dave Stewart in studio. So if he was royalty, like, where does that leave Sandy Koufax? All right, Sandy Koufax was a different dude altogether. Like, I don't know, Stu, that I've ever seen a major leaguer with that kind of it. Like, Sandy, first of all, he's just Sandy. And Sandy's like this mythical figure. What made him so unique? And as a young pitcher coming up, what was it like for you to chop it up with him?
Well, Sandy and I, in 1976, Instructional League of 1976, after two tough minor league seasons, I hadn't won a game. I was 0-5, I believe, or 0-6 in the first year in 75. And in the 76 season, I was 0-8. I had a hard time throwing strikes. It was just rough. And so in Instructional League 76, Sandy Koufax had the opportunity. I had the opportunity to work with Sandy Koufax. And Sandy had told me about his struggles early in his career with command and throwing strikes. And he told me, we're gonna just break it down. We're going to start you from square one. We're going to start with your balance point and your everything, your release point, getting yourself stressed out. And Sandy was the person that mentioned to me about lowering my sights, and I didn't know what he meant by that.
Yeah.
And so he said, you know, just try this. Lower your cap and see tell me what you see. And I said, he said, keep lowering it. So I lowered it to about right here. And, you know, now you're looking at the catcher. Basically, all you see is from the chest protector down. And that helped me to start throwing strikes. And so people have always asked me where that came from. Sandy Koufax was the inventor of that. So I go out the next year in Class A, Clinton, Iowa. I win 17 games there. They send me to AAA. I ended up winning another game there. I was 18-4 for the season. So Sandy was the most influential person for me when I was with the Dodgers, as far as performance was concerned. He had a way about himself of explaining things to you in a way that you could understand it. He put himself in a position that you can see that he had gone through difficulties before he became a Hall of Fame pitcher. And it was very, very helpful to me at that point in my career. I was 19 years old and trying to figure it out. You know, and as a young player in the minor leagues, you think that any moment you can be released if you're not performing and you're not putting up numbers. And he really helped me through that period of time. And now we fast forward. 1982, I was struggling out of the bullpen, not throwing very well, giving up runs. And Sandy says, hey, do you throw anything other than the four-seam fastball? I said, no. He says, I'm going to show you a two-seamer. And he showed me a two-seamer, but the two-seamer was pretty much a split. Now, Sandy's fingers, if you know him, if he shakes your hand, when he shakes your hand, his middle index finger is probably touching your shoulder.
Right.
He's got extremely long fingers. And so when he was showing me this two-seamer, which looked like a split to me, I did exactly what he did. And eventually, that's how I developed my forkball.
I was going to say, and then there's the forkball, right? So that's how you found that thing. The funny thing about the forkball, when you were in Texas, they didn't like that very much, right?
Oh,
so when you got
man.
To Oakland, what did Dave Duncan think about that pitch?
Well, Doug Rader gave me hell in Texas and told me I should put the pitch in my back pocket and never throw it again while he was managing. And so I put it away. But when I got to Oakland, you know, Dave Duncan immediately came to me after I started my first game against Roger Clemens for Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan. And in that game, I put the pitch on display. And then after that, Dave Duncan said that that is a pitch that's going to make you a winner. And that is a pitch that you should continue to use. And I encourage you to use it. And then my career took off.
Thanks for nothing, Doug Rader. Dave Stewart joining me in studio. Stu, Saturday, believe it or not, and I don't want to rub this in because you and I both know how this goes, but it's the 29th anniversary of that no-no. When you look back on that game, what do you remember the most?
I remember starting the game. Well, I remember my bullpen, which wasn't very good. It's the worst bullpen I've ever had, going
wow.
into a starting game, and Dave Duncan saying, man, I hope you got smoke and mirrors out there because it's going to be a rough one for you. And I end up walking the first two guys that I face. And then after that, I remember Mark McGuire making a great play at first base, a stabbing play at first base to take away their first hit. And the next thing I remember was the last out of the game, Dave Henderson in center field. Calling Ricky Henderson off, making the catch, and the no-hitter being done.
Now, what a clubhouse that must have been. Hendu, Ricky, Mac, Jose. Unbelievable times. Hey, where do you come out on the idea of teams using, like, the game's different, the world's different, teams using openers instead of another starter?
Man,
you've been on both sides of this.
Yeah, I've been killed so much about today's baseball from today's writers. And I don't understand the purpose of an opener. Still, I don't understand it. You can give me any explanation. I don't know what the purpose is of an opener. You've got a five-man rotation almost always now. You know, I was in a period of time, if you had an off day, you skip that fifth guy and you go with four guys. Now you've got the fifth guy no matter what, and now you're involving a relief pitcher to start a game and pitch only one inning. I think it throws off the mentality of the starter for that day that comes in after the opener. And I don't think these guys ever get in sync. The A's tried it against the Yankees, and in the one and only game they played in the playoffs last year, it was a failed effort. I just believe that there's more to the game than having a guy come in and start a game. That's a reliever is trained. His mentality is that of a reliever. A starter's is trained, and his mentality is that of a starter. And so when you mix the two and you cross over, I don't think that it works.
All right, Stu, last thing. Since you've played, you've been on both sides, as I mentioned. You were an agent. You were a GM. You've done a lot of different things. You are the CEO of Zen Relief Balm. Also, Chargers wide receiver, Keenan Allen's on the board as well. For those who don't know, when did you first get involved? And tell me about that product. What separates it from other products that are like it?
Well, 2 years ago, I got involved in the product. A good friend of mine, a good family friend of mine, Lloyd Lake, approached me about just helping with getting the name out, using my influence to help get the product started and running. And the product's been around for a long time. Lloyd's father, who was the inventor and founder of the Zen product, had talked to me about this years ago. His father passed, and the product kind of went dormant. Lloyd wanted to continue the legacy of his father. He came to me. And that's how I initially got involved. And since then, and even before I came on, we were in Rite Aid stores. And we've got some other small retailers. But now what makes the product different is it's a clean product. In this day and time when we've got so much crap out there, this is an all-natural product. It's got 15 essential oils there. It's clean. And on top of it, it works. I had a hip surgery 2 years ago, a hip replacement surgery 2 years ago. Never took a pain medication. After about a two-week period, I started using the Zen on the hip surgery or where the hip replacement was done. And literally, it went to work. I felt no pain. I started moving around better. I was starting to hit the golf ball about 3 to 4 weeks after the surgery. I got to be honest, if I had it when I was playing, though I had very few problems, shoulder, elbow, I mean, this is the perfect product for all of that. We've got a ladies' line, and the difference in the ladies' line and the men's line is obviously the ingredients. We've got coconut oil, lavender. We've got a men's line, we've got a sports line, and up and coming, we've also got a hemp line that's soon to be on the market. And so, in this day and time when you've got the opioid crisis and we've got different people depending on prescription drugs, I think that this is the perfect pain relief option for anybody, not just people my age. I'm 62 years old, but for young people that are involved in sports or your day-to-day household issues and things that you're doing around the house, this is the perfect answer.
Stu, you're not 62. I don't accept that. Dave Stewart, Dan, no, that's no, man. Just stop saying
brother.
That, man. Don't bring that around
62,
here.
62, bro.
He's a three-time World Series winner as a player. He is a member of the Negro League Baseball Museum Hall of Game Class of 2019. The CEO of Zen Relief Balm, as he points out, that is clean and that's healthy. Stu, it is so good to see you. I look forward to this every single year, and I appreciate you making the hump up here to do it in studio, man. Great to see
Jim,
you, Stu.
It's so good to see you. It's better see you than it is on the radio,
much
man.
Better. Much
it is
better.
So good
we
to see you.
Appreciate you, Stu. You too. Dave Stewart, hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Always look forward to that. Telephone number is toll-free. That went fast, too.